podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to podcast number 60 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Matt, sum the podcast up in a rhyming couplet, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You've got a lot to work with. You've got Carl Pilkington, you've got Anthony Joshua, the showbiz news, of course, you've got Quizface. That could rhyme with stuff. We talk about how people's mothers psychologically damaged them, all the light stuff, just in a rhyme. Well, that rhymes technically, but I'm looking for more words. Yeah, still rhyming, but not really what I'm after.
Poetry.
Yeah. Okay, what about sum it up in a fraction?
Can you come back to me at the end?
Yeah, here you go!
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace!
Man, the trouble I had getting here was amazing. It was almost ridiculous. I hit every single red light possible.
Is this the phasing again?
Who knows, my friend? But it just seems like... I mean, it was never this bad during the Olympics. I got to see every traffic light in London on a particular route, and it was wonderful. And yet it was that thing, and it started to get scary, you know, as you watch the clock click down, and you're thinking, I've got to be at work pretty soon. I mean, I'm enjoying this private tour of traffic lights, but at the same time, you know that sort of excitement when you're late for, say, someone's wedding or something? You don't want to walk in too late. It was like that. And I thought I was going to talk about that for a little while. Then I walked in, and Dave said a brilliant sentence, which was, I saw Matt Dyson's bottom yesterday. My instant reaction, like you, ladies and gentlemen, was, well, how wonderful. So please tell me more. I asked you not to tell me off there. I wanted to save this.
Well, it was a real treat, and I don't think...
Of course it is.
I wasn't expecting...
It's so rare that you get to see Matt's bottom.
It's a real rarity.
You've never even seen my feet.
Huh?
You've never even seen my feet.
No.
And you go straight in at the bottom level.
Well, that was special. That was special, but this is a collector's item. I mean, yeah, have you seen Matt's bottom, Danny?
No, I've never seen Matt's bottom.
It was just one bum cheek.
That's all I needed.
I've never seen Matt's bottom, but the day ain't over yet. So I look at it. I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
Yeah, good man.
So how did this happen?
Well,
and what was it like?
Well, at the moment we're having to try on Dockers Alpha khakis as part of an afternoon competition.
I see. Yes.
And we were all in the room yesterday as we were having a go at our various challenges as to whether or not we could get on a pair of Alpha khakis within 10 seconds.
Okay.
Matt went first, slightly overzealous, very excited. Obviously, he wanted to get his trousers off and the khakis on within 10 seconds. Of course, he did. He's very competitive.
Yes, of course, yes.
Unfortunately, the momentum got hold of him his little boxers slipped down.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just at the back.
Cheeky.
Yeah. So I was in a room full of men taking my trousers off.
Well,
as
you
fast
know.
As I could.
And then you did the Alpha Challenge. And so the boxers, what were the boxers like? I want every detail.
Well, they were quite tight, I think.
Tight boxers?
Yeah, they were quite tight.
Obviously not tight enough, because I wanted them to stay on.
Yeah. No. Ever since your bottom implant.
Yeah, that's it.
Your boxers have got
tighter. That's all people are talking about.
One day they'll talk about your music. We are, of course, comparing Matt's bottom to the bottom of Sugar Babe
Mutya.
Yeah. Not for the first time, and it won't be the last.
We are XFM.
What are you doing this weekend? I'm doing nothing of interest. Absolutely nothing of interest.
Do tell us more.
Well, I can't. There's nothing. Nothing of interest.
Wow.
Gonna be sitting around. That's it.
It's lovely weather to sit around in.
Well, thank you, Matt, for that positive spin. But you guys, you're doing more interesting things.
Oh, my weekend's jam-packed.
It's jam-packed to the rafters, isn't it? Mm. Well, go on, talk us through it.
Well, it mainly revolves around the iTunes Festival, which we're all very excited about.
Yes.
It is Elbow this evening, which I will be at.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to Elbow tonight?
Elbow tonight.
Very nice.
Which has been broadcast live on XFM.
Look at him, he's on message.
Around about 9 p.m.
The Thought Police
He's going to be saying that to all the people at the Roundhouse. Do you know this is being broadcast live?
Yeah, what are you doing here? You could be listening to it.
From 9 p.m, everybody. I used to sort of do that at gigs. If I'd had a bad glass of wine, I'd sort of maybe tap someone on the shoulder. It was like, I remember the Strokes playing somewhere. Alexandra Palace, I think, and I'm tapping someone, just going, and it was one of their big hits, and I just went, excuse me, and they went, yes, and I went, I've actually got this on compact disc. I've got all these songs. You can listen to them at home. They weren't very impressed. I was kind of interrupting their gig, to be honest. I stopped doing it since, very quickly.
Good.
But that's Elbow, and then what?
Oh, and then tomorrow, well, the rest of the weekend, I'm going to go and play frisbee in the park tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Something that happens just like in an impromptu basis, impromptu, you know?
Yeah.
You don't organise that.
Yeah, this has been planned since Tuesday.
Do you play that sport, frisbee, where you play in teams?
No, we don't take it that seriously.
Well, you seem to take it seriously enough to plan it 5 days in
advance. Well, you know, I don't take it seriously enough because I was meant to meet my friend yesterday afternoon to go and play and I forgot and I got a call from him. He was just sat in the park waiting for me.
Oh, no. So it's just you and your mate just throwing the frisbee back and forth?
Yeah.
So you can't even talk to each other, really. You're more interested in catching a plastic disc than you are with catching up with your friends.
I love it.
Get a dog.
Yeah. Why do you love frisbee so much?
I don't know. I just, everything about frisbee.
What do you mean everything about it?
Everything.
What
about
is it? The throwing, the catching, that's it. That's all there is.
The angles you can get on a frisbee, Danny, with the right trajectory is incredible.
And I just, quite far apart.
It's quite therapeutic as well.
No. You don't throw them at an angle. You throw them at 0 degrees. So that because you're facing your friends. So you want to throw it to your friend.
Yeah.
Why are you just wildly throwing it at angles?
No, but you can get real arch on it if you just give it a slight tilt.
And then it spins.
It's just saying words. He's got no idea what that means. What do you mean a real arch on it if you give it the right tilt?
Well, if you just give it a slight angle.
You already don't understand angles.
If you give it a slight angle, you can throw it to the right, and then as it swings round, it'll drop right into your partner's
hands.
You
see yourself as the Beckham, don't you, of frisbees.
Bend it like Dave.
Exactly. Fade it like Dave. are you doing anything as exciting as throwing a frisbee to a man?
I play frisbee with the lid of a Tupperware pot with my nieces.
Anything to save money.
We are XFM.
There's a lady in China, and she's the mother of identical quadruplet boys, right? And she's having trouble telling them apart. Until they were 18 months old, she could only tell the difference between them by using ankle tags so that she knew which one was which. And now, of course, with everyone going back to school, she faces a problem because it's not just her that can't tell the difference. She's worried that lots of other people can't as well. And they're only six. And so what she's done is she shaved their heads so that all that remains hair-wise are the numbers 1 to 4. And these poor little lads, you know, she's not helping by dressing them all identically, but I suppose that is the school uniform. They've got weird little sort of dungarees on, dungaree shorts. And there they are, bold as brass, 1, 2, 3, and 4, shaved into their heads.
Oh, dear.
You know, you're not a quadruplet, I'm not a quadruplet, no. I'm an only child. So, I mean, you know, my mum could tell me apart from all the other children.
Seems a bit excessive.
It does seem...
Branding them like cattle.
It's essentially hair branding, isn't it? That's what's going on there. And that leads me on. A lot of, you know, people are going back to school this week, they're back already. So I'm sort of thinking, at that time, that important time, where, you know, you're getting your new uniforms back, and you're getting your school haircut, aren't you? Or maybe your mum's doing it for you. My question for you this morning is, how did your mum psychologically damage you? So, Dave, let's start with you. How did your mum psychologically damage you?
Well, it wasn't the first week back at school, but it was the first ever fancy dress at school.
Yeah.
And my mates were all around. They were in, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles outfits, or maybe
cool,
Wizard of Oz, stuff like that.
Great.
My mum put a colander on my head, then a sign on the front of me that said, Pasta Joke. And that was my first ever fancy dress outfit.
That's the cheapest joke. It's just a colander. You know, you didn't even get to keep it.
No, just with little bits of spaghetti coming down with the sign on the front.
Pasta joke.
Mum!
Oh, man.
Mum!
Exactly. Matt Dyson, are you in any way psychologically
well,
damaged?
As well as the Jonathan James sandals at school and the Goaler football boots when I really didn't want their brand. That was so embarrassing.
You
really set me back.
Oh, nice.
National Health spectacles with a patch on my lazy eye.
You're kidding?
When I don't even need to wear
You're
glasses.
You're kidding?
Yeah, seriously. In my adult life, I don't need to wear glasses. But, okay, it was the...
Hang on. You wore NHS-style specs.
I did it for about a year, 6 months.
With a patch over
the lazy eye, because I've got a slightly lazy eye. It's nothing big. But the optician, I mean, this wasn't purely my mum's fault.
I've never noticed.
The optician obviously suggested it.
Yeah.
And my mum could have stepped in and said, no way, you look like an idiot at school. But no, she watched it happen and let it go.
Oh, man, so that was you. That was you. Wow.
Like
something out of a carry-on film or something. It's that classic 70s look. Whenever I... had a cold or something like that. We didn't rely on Lemsip or, any of the other major cold and flu-based remedy brands. Instead, my mum had a book written by a Swiss monk, and my mum is Swiss, and so we had to use these things, which would involve if I had a fever or a cold, I'd just lie in bed, and my mum would wrap my feet in cabbage. That's what would happen, all thanks to an 18th century Swiss monk. I'd get my feet regularly wrapped in cabbage. And then I'd have to talk to everyone at school like it was normal. Just going, yeah, well, I got cabbage foot last night. What's that mean? Cabbage foot. I remember once rubbing salt into my back. I can't remember why that was either.
Oh, wow.
But there are very vivid memories of those things.
The cabbage thing?
Well, who knows? I mean, you know, colds go away, don't they? So, I mean, we would blame it on the cabbage, I suppose.
We are.
XFM. Hey, everybody, this is Deeply Exciting. A wonderful friend of XFM, a wonderful friend of mine. It's only Carl Pilkington, everybody. Hello. Just did some clapping for you. You look concerned even now. Your eyebrows are up.
It's all this music and that.
This is how XFM is these days.
Oh, no, put a stop to that.
Really? What would you do?
I don't know, I'd just say, oh, if someone's chatting, just let them have a chat.
Okay, well, let's try that. Let's turn that down.
T4 do that, don't
they? Off you go.
Well, how's it been?
Been all right, yeah, not bad, yeah. How about you? You all right?
Yeah, not bad. I've just got a book out, haven't I?
That's right, yeah.
Actually, it's not even out yet. I realised, the fella just said there, it's out on the 20th.
That's right, yeah. Producer Dave knows more about your book than you do.
Yes, I don't know why I'm in yet.
It is unusual. Let's bring the music back and bring some excitement to, does it bring excitement?
I just think it says, whatever we're saying isn't that interesting, so it's the music.
Well, you know, it can be an issue with guests, Carl, you know. Not with you, though. You've been all over the world doing all sorts of things since last I saw you.
Yeah, I've just been away again.
Where have you been?
I went from Venice to Hong Kong.
Oh, the classic Venice to Hong Kong. With Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
I see, and this is for a TV vehicle, yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
that's not just a holiday, is it?
It sounds
around the world with a dwarf.
Well, you could have.
That's what I do when I'm not working.
Well, is it?
No.
Well, it sounds like it is.
No, we've run out of ideas now.
You're all done. You're spent.
Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, that's something else, isn't it?
Well, the book, as you say, comes out, well, you didn't say this, the book, as we had to tell you, comes out on the 20th of September. The publishers are saying this is Carl's final word on travel. Is that a hint in some way? Are your travel days done?
You never know, do you?
You
know,
well,
it's like,
you
go, but you go to Tenerife, don't you, sometimes, and go, I'm not going there again, it's horrible, and then you end up going, oh, I'll go again, because I know it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I suppose they've got to have some sort of line to hang the book on.
Yeah. What would your line be?
I'd just say it's a book about me travelling about. Does it matter if it's the last time I'm going away?
Well, these are the words of your Pete. You have a word with them.
They don't listen.
You've got to bring more of your common sense to the marketing process.
Yeah,
such as, for example, haven't you just been travelling around supermarket car parks in a caravan?
No, that's something else that is still to come.
What the heck's going on with you?
Because they asked last time, they said, will you do a book signing? And I was like, no, it's embarrassing. And yet what happens is no one turns up. And does it really make a difference? And they were going, oh, no, it's good if you do it. And I said, right, well, I don't want to be sat in a supermarket signing books because you just get in the way. Mm. See, when I see that going on, I go, what's he doing? He's just getting in the way. Crowds are queuing up. You're trying to get your bread and milk.
Yeah.
And Christopher Biggins is doing some time.
Biggins, like, Akabusi.
Yeah, yeah.
Any of them.
So I said, I don't want to be part of that. And I said, how about you get me a caravan, stick me in the car park, and then if people want to come, they can. If they don't, I'm not in the way.
Yeah.
And I thought they'd go, don't be stupid, we can't arrange that, blah, blah, blah. They got a caravan.
Jeez. You're at the stage now, Carlo, when you can say pretty much anything and they'll just go, yeah, all right, yeah, fine. Pilkington wants a caravan in a car park.
Yeah, but I don't know, I just thought they wouldn't be able to do it. I honestly thought that was a way of getting out of it.
Yeah.
Me sort of going, look, I offered.
I mean, it's not like asking for the world, is it, for a caravan to be parked in a car park? For you, it's not like, oh, I never thought they'd be able to do it. I made extravagant and crazy demands, never for a moment believing a multinational publishing house had access to a caravan.
Yeah, well, it's a second-hand one. They got it off eBay, apparently. Honestly.
Man, now you know you're standing. Now you know you're standing.
Proper big sort of six-berth one.
It's really?
Not like a little... Yeah.
Oh, right. See, it's a bit starry now, not just a little tiny caravan.
Yeah, it's a good caravan.
All your books have done... I've done so well. I mean, did you ever think, like, when you know, you'll get this a lot today in the building, in fact, but, you know, when you worked here at XFM, of course, as a producer, I mean, first of all, did you think it'd make it to 20 years?
XFM?
Yeah.
Is that what it's been?
Yeah. Not since you've been here.
God. No, I didn't, no.
Oh.
It's nice, I didn't think it would. Right. No, but, well, it's good that it has, though, isn't it?
What are your memories of this place?
Do they still do roast dinners on a Wednesday?
No.
That's gone.
We don't even get mugs in the morning, my friend. We've got headphones that bleed through. We've already covered that off air.
Yeah.
And you can have eggs on a Friday.
Well, I've heard today. Are we allowed to talk about what I was told?
You talk about whatever
it's
you want.
It's not in here, they told me. The clear your desk policy.
Oh, yeah. Clear desk policy, yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Are we allowed to talk about that?
Well, I don't care.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
Well, you keep your clear desk clear. I think it's in case you disappear in the night, Carl.
In case they get rid of you.
Well, that's what you just said. Well, Carl Pilkington, you're leading us into awkward cul-de-sacs here.
But how good are they? I mean, what can you leave? If you leave anything on your desk, it will go.
It will be picked up and taken to a storage facility and then burnt or destroyed.
So if you need to get rid of a mattress...
Yeah.
We are XFM.
There's a lady selling her bottom on eBay. as advertising space.
Right.
Yes, advertising space. And she promises that whoever pays the most, and all the money goes to charity, she will tattoo whatever they want.
Wow.
I see no problem there. I see absolute nothing's going to go wrong there. Nothing's going to go wrong. Thank goodness we're not opening this up to the listeners. Because I don't think any of the texts would be readable.
Who's going to pay for that? Because that's the one part of the body that no one's ever really going to see.
Yeah, that's very true.
So it's not the great sponsorship deal that she's promising, really.
No,
do it on your forehead.
Yeah, on your forehead, exactly. There seems to be nothing here about access, you know, to see the work, you know, and to make sure that it's being... Look, you know, the upkeep is there because you pay for it. You want to make sure it's been looked after.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll move on because this is very dangerous territory.
Yeah.
Not as dangerous as this, though, ironically. There's a shop that opened up in India. And the gentleman claims he didn't know that this was a dodgy, you know, this was a dodgy name. And it's, you know, been in the papers last day or two, but it's only now that he's kind of, he's come out, this guy, and gone... I may have made a mistake. Because it's a clothing shop. You know about this, Matt? It's a clothing shop. And he called it Hitler. Now, that's an unusual name, isn't it? What with the connotations.
Yeah.
You don't really think clothing.
Hitler clothing.
Yeah, it's not. It's like casual clothing. You know. So this guy, he's now confirmed that he will come up with a new name following widespread criticism. There's been political pressure from the government. I mean, you know, you sort of feel for him if he's actually kind of telling the truth, because he says, I was not aware of Hitler's behaviour before the shop's inauguration. And he goes on to say, frankly, until the time we applied for permission to trademark it, so he was trying to trademark the name, I had only heard that Hitler was a strict man. It was only recently we read about Hitler on the internet. And yet, I mean, part of the logo is a swastika, so you do wonder kind of what he was going... But no saint... Well, yeah, I can't say that, but... all I'll say is it's a very unusual choice. You know, I guess maybe there are some people in the world who've, you know, who've gone through it, but then why would he be looking up Hitler on the internet? You know, big in the forces, I suppose. He has... I'd argue he's still quite high profile.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of being one of the most... One of the most evil men in history.
Yeah.
Would you shop at Hitler? I mean,
no.
You know, because then you get the carrier bags, don't you? You're taking your stuff home and you've got that written all over your carrier bags.
It's not a good look, is it?
It's not a great look. But then the swastika, of course, is also it is ironically a symbol of peace as well, isn't it?
Isn't it?
A religious symbol, yeah. So he's changing that. So who knows what it's going to be. That's not a bad one. What should he change it to? It'll just be other dictators' names. That's all that will happen.
XFM. We are XFM.
Just a little point of interest here. Just got a text in from someone called Ken. He says, I am so fed up with you continuing to regurgitate the Capers episode. Gosh, Ken's angry about it. We've mentioned Capers this morning. I mean, dude, apologise. The Capers episode, I mean, that only took place on Wednesday. It's the first clip we've played from it.
What's the problem with Capers?
Taking issue with Capers. The fact that Matt, I mean, we've mentioned Capers. He's so fed up. He must get in. Oh, he's just phoned his wife, isn't he? Julie, whatever. And just go, oh, I'm so fed up. Mention capers again. When are these clowns stop mentioning capers? Wednesday, it was all like capers. Now it's Friday. Not 48 hours has passed, Julie. Throwing his bag down, slamming doors.
Kenny is.
Capers! All they talk about! Fair enough, the first time they talked about it, it was all right. He mentioned capers, and the guy made fun of him, and they talked about it a bit more, and it is an unusual thing to be interested in. But then they did a quiz phase on capers, and they played a clip of it today. Fed up, Julie!
I hope it's not affecting his work.
Fed up with them! Get some fresh material! So fed up!
Ooh,
7 minutes past eight. That was good, actually. No one at home could see that, but I just crumpled up a bit of paper, threw it the length of the studio, and it landed in the bin. That's how I roll, Ken. I looked cool at the end of that.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
XFM. Carl Pilkington is here. Man, so many strings to your bow now, you know? Not just radio producer, you know, which you can still do should you wish to turn your hand to it. Author.
If they have to.
Filmmaker, documentarian, actor with Derek. Huh? And you've been filming that at the moment.
Yeah, I did my last bit last week in Broadstairs in Kent.
Amazing. And what's the atmosphere like being like on set? You and Ricky Gervais, obviously.
What's the atmosphere like?
Yeah.
The average age is 90.
Every what?
Well, the average age is like an old people's home, isn't it?
Is it crazy
what's the
times?
Atmosphere? They're just nodding off. You have to keep waking people up, going, it's your turn to
really?
Say something. Yeah, it's mad. But I like it. I like old people.
And you like the world of acting?
Well, it's not acting, Dan. You keep saying that as if you know quite well that there's no acting involved.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, you enjoy acting. You do acting now. How's acting?
But you're acting. You're
I'm
an
not
actor.
Acting.
You're
it's acting. I've got a wig on and some glasses.
You've been acting.
There's bits in it that is actually my life. I'm playing a character called Dougie, and because, like, Ricky's just sort of says, oh, you can make some stuff up on the spot if you want, it makes it seem more real. Yeah. And, yeah, if I've got a problem with something, I go in and I can do it as Dougie, just moaning.
Right.
About something. So it's not acting.
Right, okay. What is acting, then?
Acting's, when you can do an accent. If I could do Dougie as an Irishman or...
You can do no accents. Everyone can do an accent.
No, I can't.
You can do an accent if you tried.
Maybe on a word. Well, one like with Irish, it's potatoes. Isn't it?
Okay, yeah, good.
But you can't do. I can't just do that. There's
say
else.
Say le weekend because that's French. If you have le, well, like weekend, but with le in front of it.
Le weekend.
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't act. You can't act. Did you ever think you'd get to the point where you'd be signing books in a caravan in the car park of Asda Watford?
Living the dream, isn't it?
That's what you'll be on the 22nd. Is it all day you've got to be there?
Listen, why can we just promote the fact that I've got a book out? I'm not
That's
bothered
what you're
about
signing.
The book signing.
Oh,
I didn't even want to do it.
Okay.
I'm sure Asda's a lovely supermarket.
Well, Watford branch.
They're all great.
You're
going
to know,
I'm not
you're get to know
flog.
It very well.
I'm not promoting Asda.
No.
My book is out. Buy it where you want.
Yeah.
Look, Waterstones
Asda,
and Borders still.
Or Asda open. Watford on the 22nd, where Carl will be in the car park all day. In the car park of
it
Asda
is a long
Watford.
Day, isn't it?
It's
one
a long
five,
day.
Sat in a car park.
In a car park car.
No one's going to turn up. I know I'm going to end up doing my shopping. That's what's going to happen. That's all that's going to come out of that
day. Absolutely. Well, look, you know, if Asda Watford, if that that doesn't work out for you, what we've done this morning, Carl, is we've thrown it open to the ladies and gentlemen listening, this is the confirmed listeners, to try and decide what your next vehicle should be if you are as yet undecided. So let's play Snap My Pitch Up.
Snap My Pitch
So all these are absolutely up for grabs, Carl. All he looks terrified and yet disgusted and all sorts. Carl, these are projects that you are welcome to take off our hands. Matt Dyson, the first pitch for Carl Pilkington.
Get milking, son. You're Carl Pilkington.
Great.
It's another sort of fly on the wall travelogue show which you've carved out a niche for yourself. This time you get to milk from the teats of all sorts of animals around the world, big
done
or
it.
Small, wild or tame.
Already done it.
He'll give them a go. You've already done it. He's already done it.
Yeah. All animals.
Yeah. All
animals.
Actually.
Did you, how did you use, was it manual that you milked them or did you cycle?
Yeah, it was at the, I met some Amish people.
Oh, yeah.
In America and, yeah, they said, oh, come and milk a goat.
Yeah.
They didn't use it in the programme because it's not that amazing, is it?
No, it's more of a DVD
it's
extra.
More sort of country file.
Dave, your pitch then.
Carl versus Farl. Oh. Very much a spin-off to Man versus Food.
Yes.
Carl travels up and down Manchester's Curry Golden Mile in Rusholme, stopping at every restaurant. He then must order the notoriously hot Farl. But how far down Wilmslow Road can Carl get before he announces, "I'm Carl. I was beaten by the Farl." If listeners can guess how far he got, they win a poppadom.
How far would you go?
Don't know.
No, are you in?
It's not a bad. I mean, I've seen worse programmes. Not far, isn't it?
All right, so maybe Gareth says, "What about Carl, a comedian? Carl habits the lifestyle of a comedian. Paints himself into different places to see how long he can stay hidden."
That's good.
That's good. All right, that's in the lead. We have the Carlham Globetrotters. You take over an ailing basketball team. I go driving in my Carl, where you pretend to be a sports coupe and piggyback people around London. And Carl Pilkington, a documentary in which Carl finds out about different weights around the world, their history, their popularity, and, of course, their future. Any of those grab you?
See, the thing is, you're making out as if these are daft ideas, but you must know that you get ideas like this sent to you, and they're serious, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, they're all good.
Good. All right. Well, it's a big tick to all of them. Carl Pilkington very much in. Thank you for your Snap My Pitches Up. Hey, Carl, the new book comes out in 10 days, The Further Adventures of an Idiot Abroad. Just before we finish, do you know the idea I get pitched the most for me?
Go on.
Just me on an oil rig. Just me on an oil rig.
No one else?
No, there'd be oil rig workers. But I've been to so many meetings where they go, you on an oil rig.
Why?
I think because I wear glasses. And it would amuse people to see a man with glasses on an oil rig. I've had it pitched like 9 times.
I don't know what to say.
Carl Pilkington, everyone!
We are...
you went to the Killers last night.
Yes.
How was it?
They were brilliant.
Were they?
A hit-laden set.
Was
hit
it?
After hit, yeah.
What did they open with?
They opened with their latest one, Runaways.
Uh-huh.
And then they just ploughed through, you know, Mr. Brightside.
The back catalogue.
Smile Like You Mean It, Somebody Told Me.
And good to see them in a smaller venue?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. It was brilliant.
What was the atmosphere like?
Incredible, because these iTunes gigs, obviously people win tickets, so it's always a bit of a gamble as to how many real fans are going to be in there. But the crowd were going bananas.
Well, who's not a fan that would turn up? I mean, it's what a great thing to go to.
It was all killer, no filler.
Thank you. And did you embarrass yourself in any way? I imagine you probably embarrassed yourself at some point.
Yeah.
Wow, brilliant.
No, not really. Just at the end of the Killers interview, because I was working last night, and at the end of the Killers interview, I'd met Brandon, and he went for the handshake.
Oh, for God's sake.
And he had,
what are you going to learn?
And he had the microphone in his hand, so very rudely of me, I went just straight for the microphone to grab it, but he had just gone very politely to shake my hand and say, "Thanks a lot for the interview."
You rebuffed Brandon.
And I went just straight for the microphone, ignoring the handshake.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
It's
like Noel all over again. Are you going to Noel Gallagher tonight?
Yeah.
Well, you're building up. This is the third time you met him in recent months.
I know.
First time, what happened?
I thanked him.
You thanked him for the music?
Thanked him for the music.
The second time, what happened?
What you saw what happened
I
the second
saw what
time.
Happened. You put your hand out and he rebuffed you.
Yeah, he completely blanked me.
Are you nervous about tonight if you meet him?
Well, yeah, I am, because I kind of feel he should know who I am by now.
Of course you do. You're a very important man.
Yeah. And it's going to really break my heart a little bit if once again he nods at me as if it's the first time we've met.
Yeah.
So that's going to be hard to take.
That's definitely going to happen.
Well, no.
It's definitely going to happen.
Well, we'll be recording, so we can actually play out tomorrow what went down.
Amazing.
Yeah, so we can...
Oh, great.
Will you hold your hand out, or what? Do you know what you're going to do?
Go for the hug.
Well, I'm nervous now.
Go for a little kiss.
No.
Huh?
I thought I was
safe. Or a tickle. What about a tickle?
Tickle.
Goose him.
Great.
Noel loves tickles.
Goose him from behind.
I don't know what goosing means.
Creep up on stage and goose him. Go on, I dare you. I'll give you a pound and a half.
No way. No.
Okay. Well, I imagine you will. You'll do something. Something will happen.
Yeah.
So in honour of Noel, here's Blur Under the Westway. And this is just to psych him out, right? If he's listening. To psych him out, to make him think, oh, these guys have power. They can play a Blur track now. Remember the old battle?
He's going to hate this.
Create an awkward moment tonight, but maybe a frisson of respect as well. He'll come up to you. Maybe he'll goose you. Be nice. I'm so sorry for the memories we brought back for you. Oh, Mum. You're so damaged, aren't you? Damaged now. Matt Dyson.
Yeah.
How have our listeners been psychologically damaged by their mothers?
Well, confirm, Mr. Christian. You know, your cabbage wrap.
Wrapping my feet in cabbage,
yes.
when he had colds, his feet were wrapped in grilled green tomatoes. And he wouldn't be allowed to shower for school because he had a cold. Obviously, he says, friends could tell I was smelling like a human tagine.
He actually follows that up. I found another one from Christian. He says, when we ran out of hair gel, she'd comb my hair with lemon juice and counteracted the smell with lots of perfume. Which meant that he also smelled of sweet and sour chicken. Oh. And the poor lad,
gosh.
Harry from Chelmsford, he was 16, right? He was in Clark's getting his school shoes.
Yeah.
But he had to get the kids' shoes because he's only size 6, but his mum didn't believe him when he said, I know what my size is. So he sat there and he was surrounded by 3- and 4-year-olds. And he had to stand on the foot measuring machine.
Oh,
and that destroyed him, he says. Oh, man, you'll get better.
First time texter Dan, his parents used to come and pick him up from school in a horse and cart.
Wow. Really?
That must have got the playground talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Paula in Earlsfield says, well, I was raised by a single dad who would always forget to wash my uniform and then I'd run out. The same father of mine had a coat hanger for an aerial on the car. We had that as well. And when I was short of a T-shirt for school, he'd wash it in the morning, then drive me to school with my T-shirt drying on the aerial as we drove along. Not at all embarrassing for a girl that was already contending with buck teeth and Coke bottle glasses. You'll be a dad. What else, Matt?
Teacher Alan in Enfield says, at primary school, everyone else's lunch boxes had chocolate spread sandwiches with no crust, Texas bars and Coke.
Oh.
Mine had door wedge brown bread sandwiches, a whole carrot and a chunk of celery.
Oh, no.
Suffice to say, no one wanted to swap.
No.
But my mum did make up for it with a Yoda flask of piping hot vegetable soup.
Oh, nice work. Well, Stu, on that note as well, says, my mum bought me a lunchbox with a clown on it, while all my friends had G.I. Joe and Transformers on theirs. That's why men nowadays go to eBay and buy all the things they couldn't have when they were kids, aren't they?
Yeah,
that's exactly what happens. Ian from Tottenham says, I got sent away on a school trip to a place called Hill End in Oxford without my mum remembering to pack my hay fever stuff. My head inflated to twice its normal size and I nearly sneezed my pancreas up. I can't go near the woods now without eye drops, even in the winter.
Ah, oh, Stephen Gravesend says, when I was at junior school, my feet were turned in slightly.
Oh.
My mum's solution to my pigeon toe walk, as she called it, was making me wear our shoes on the wrong feet for a few months to school. Very uncomfortable and embarrassing, but it worked.
It worked.
God bless your evil ways, Mum, says Steve.
Mum. Sarah in Croydon says, my mum, being Spanish, didn't know how to pronounce certain words correctly. Being a small child, I did not notice her accent, however, so for years I pronounced the word artichoke as artichoke. Worktop was warttop. And bedding, my mum was too scared to say sheets, was to become beddings. I was 19 before I discovered the mistake. She is psychologically damaged there, yeah. A couple more men and women.
Tom in Crystal Palace at the school nativity play, he was doing the shepherd part.
Yeah.
The outfit provided by his mother was just some underpants and a sheepskin rug tied to his back. Also, Graham in Glasgow one day, he lived opposite the primary school, and his mum came into the playground once wearing a pink velour dressing gown and clipped him round the ear.
And finally, and I think this just explains a lot, Joe from Dartford. I ripped my skating jeans once. I love that he had skating jeans.
Yeah.
My mum told me she'd fix them. When I checked the inside of the crutch, she'd just duct tape them together.
Oh.
Then made me wear them to the sports centre with my friends. It all makes sense now, Joe.
Yeah.
It all makes sense.
XFM.
We're excited in the studio, Matthew Dyson. I think probably the tallest man I've ever seen in my life is here. He's big, he's broad-shouldered. I'll reveal all. This is who he is.
Rings all back. Anthony Joshua is the Olympic super heavyweight champion.
Here he is, everybody. Anthony Joshua is here. Hi, Anthony. How are you?
I'm feeling good. Feeling pumped up with this Rocky music. In the background.
Well, what a recent times for you, eh? Olympic gold medalist.
I'm talking about that. Just brought it all back as well, hearing them cheers. I haven't even watched it back, most of it yet.
Really?
Nah, not the commentary. I've watched it silently on highlights and stuff.
Really? So, yeah. That really must have meant something just there.
Yeah.
Well, what did it bring back?
Just that feeling, that support of everyone, you know, getting behind me, and everyone felt that buzz as well when I became Olympic champion for the nation.
Absolutely. No, I mean, what, you know, it's such an exciting Olympics and such an exciting time for London and Britain. And there's you right at the heart of this thing, bringing home a gold for Team GB.
This is what I'm saying. And we're going to carry that on through the parade now. All of us are going to get together and keep that.
Good. I thought you meant you're going to start a fight or something.
Nah.
The time for violence is over, Anthony. You've got to let that go. But the parade is happening today, so what's what can we expect?
Well-organised, great athletes coming together again, and they're just keeping that legacy going and putting on a show for everyone that wanted to support, and we're supporting you guys by coming out as well.
It's going to be great. It'll be just another moment where London can all kind of get together. It really has unified not only the city but the country, hasn't it, would you say?
Yeah, worldwide as well, yeah.
And were you expecting that?
What, to go there and win?
Well, A, to go there and win, and B, for there to be this incredible feeling.
With the feeling, I didn't expect the feeling. To win the Olympic gold medal, I knew I got 4 fights. If I can go undefeated for the rest of this season, I'll become Olympic champion. Yeah. So that was really my main goal, rather than thinking, oh, I can go to the Olympics and become champion. It was just go undefeated and the props of it will come at the end.
Yeah. And so the final, I mean, how did you sort of bump yourself up for the final?
I knew I was...
Because the pressure must have been on.
Yeah, I'm learning about more pressure now as it goes on. But I think you just got to stay oblivious to act like there's no pressure there and go in there and just win. The crowd, the people supporting me, the nation, I just knew there wasn't anywhere I could get beat.
Really? You just had that level of confidence?
Yeah, because there's a driving force behind you, you know. I'm motivated as it is, so with that driving force, I just felt I wouldn't get beat.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And how do you, you say you remain oblivious and stuff, but you must have some kind of coping mechanism before you go on. Do you listen to music? What do you do?
Spartans? Yeah.
All right.
A few clips. Trust me, I've left it at home. No fighting today. I'm easy, but I'm just bringing it back. I watched a few Spartan films just to get you a bit motivated. And
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was weird sitting in the back of the changing room and, like, Fred Evans or Gogo or Tom Stalker would go out, and I'd hear the crowd just cheering. And then I'm in the back waiting to fight in the next 4 fights, and it's like you're a gladiator going into the arena.
Yeah.
So you capture that imagination, and that's... Spartans kind of could relate to it.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm just thinking, Matt, I would like to train Matt Dyson up as a fighter.
Really?
I'm right, just
so
wondering.
We're looking at Matt now in the studio.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What techniques do you think he could apply? He's very much a street fighter, Anthony.
Yeah.
He goes for fish hooks, groin pops. He does all those kind of things.
We'll have to cut out the groin pops.
Okay, no groin pops.
Below the belts.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a Mike Tyson style.
Oh,
bob and weave, yeah.
Ear biting, I could do.
Bob and weave with a quick snack in the middle.
Yeah.
And what about Dave? Dave's a very lithe man. He's very sort of willowy. I imagine dodging would be very important for him.
I'm thinking Carl Froch.
Oh, right. Yes.
Carl Froch.
Good. Oh, really? Yeah. Something like that.
Legend.
And finally, myself. I'm kind of a warrior of the mind. I'll kind of psych whenever I get into fights, and I don't talk about them on air, but I fight often and I fight dirty. What advice could you give to me?
I'd say make sure you stay off the streets and stay in the studio.
Yeah.
You know, for people's own safety.
Yeah, for the people at home you're thinking of. Yeah. I'm a maverick, Anthony, that's what happens. Although I do sense you are taking a mickey there slightly. So just don't make me fight you, Anthony, because it will happen and I will come at you like the wind. All right? That's what's going to happen right now. That medal's not staying on you for long, my friends. Okay? I'm a gold medalist here.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Matt said something interesting before, Dave. And we were listening to Of Monsters and Men, Little Talks.
Yeah.
And he said, this song's always in my head. It's always in my head. Never leaves my head.
Well.
He said, don't listen to this song. He said, even though we're playing it right now, you just leave the room. If you don't want this song in your head, just stop listening to this song. And it's been in your head because of one lyric in particular,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
One lyric. He was telling me about this one lyric, isn't
there? I keep hearing this lyric.
Yeah.
I heard it in Mamas and Papas yesterday. It wouldn't leave
Mamas
me.
And Papas.
It really just annoyed me with a beer.
What?
No, I didn't have any alcohol on me. I thought
you had one of those little hats on, didn't you, with a straw that came out of a backpack. Yeah, you just wander around childcare shops, yeah, just drinking copious amounts.
He's not hiding it anymore. No. He's gone past that.
Not even a brown bag.
No. Yeah.
It's the big T-shirt with I love beer. So you were listening to Of Monsters and Men, Little Talks.
Yeah, and I keep hearing this lyric, which I thought the line was, I'll get married with our pats.
Yeah. So he thought, that's this wonderful band.
It's a horrible lyric.
He was going, it's cheesy lyric. It's one thing that lets the song down. It's so cheesy. It's kind of like, I'll get married to our pats. Get married to our pats, he said. It'll date so quickly. And he went, here it goes. It's coming, it's coming. Listen. Didn't say that, did it? What did it say?
Something about it getting buried with our past.
Buried with our past, yeah. Much better lyric, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Touching in a lot of ways.
So I take it back.
Married to our pats. That's what he thought we were playing.
God.
And Dave, you went out last night.
I did. Well, I was at Noel Gallagher, which was very special indeed.
Very special indeed. Yeah. You're being very cagey. But a bit later on, you're going to tell us about meeting Noel Gallagher for the third time in less than 6 months.
Yeah, well, we mentioned it yesterday, the fact that I feel
we're
at a stage now where, you know, I've been introduced to him a fair few times.
Yes.
A lot of the times with you, Danny.
Yes.
And I feel we've got to be at a stage now where he's at least going, all right, mate, how's it going?
Or at least makes eye contact with you.
Something.
Or if you put your hand out to shake his hand, he at least shakes your hand.
Yeah.
Which hasn't happened.
Well, that was the second time.
But you popped home before the gig.
I did pop home before the gig. I needed to pick up a few things.
Yeah.
Went to the post office.
Right.
Now, the post office is usually quite a standard journey for me. You might go and post a letter or something.
That's right. Yeah, that's one of the things you do at a post office.
Yeah. I went special delivery yesterday, just so you know. Yeah.
So bring it home the dollar.
And then a postman walked in, and I was the only guy in there.
Right.
And he started singing at me. Well, no, first of all, he said, it's blessed to be alive.
Okay.
And I agreed with him.
Yes.
I went, great, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, very much so.
And then he started singing a song.
What was he singing at?
Well, he sang...
And was he singing at you, or was he singing in the post office?
Very much at me.
Directed at you.
Very much at me. I was at the counter. He came up next to me with his big bag of letters.
Yeah.
Very much at me, inviting me to join in.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So he went with, you know, raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm mittens.
He was singing this at you.
In the post office.
Yeah.
Brown just you paper. And him.
Yeah, and then obviously, and then the people behind the counter as well.
And did they join in him, sort of barbershop quartet?
You can see in their eyes, music. Oh, here he goes again.
Yeah. It sounds like an advert. Were you in an advert for the post office?
I hope not. I don't think I was being filmed.
So
and then obviously, brown paper, packages tied up with strings. And then he looked at me. And I had to. These are a few.
Amazing.
And I didn't really know what just happened.
Well, what happened
I felt better for it.
Yeah, it was a one-man flash mob, wasn't it? It was just the post office. It was just a postman walking and singing at you and forcing you against your will to sing.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't about our pats. That's all we can say. Man, a load of them just came in about spreadsheets and autocorrect. We'll get to them. But first, Matt Dyson. What are you so angry and nerdy about?
Bus checker app. Stop claiming to be in sync with the TfL bus time tickers. When
still,
you're clearly not.
Still.
This is ruining my life. I mean, you claim there are no buses due, and then as I walk to the tube, one happens to pass me by. Like a ghost bus that you're not tracking for some reason. I've come to rely on you in my day-to-day life, but you keep disappointing me.
Oh, there's nothing better than hitting someone with a pun.
Yeah.
Dave, your angry nerd rant, please.
Hey, gig roadie, why are you still using a torch to flash to the sound desk when the artist is due on stage?
Correct.
It's 2012. Surely there is an appropriate technology in place to communicate with the sound desk without the whole room seeing what's going on. You've completely ruined the element of surprise for me.
You've ruined it.
Hit the roadie, Jack.
Am I the only one who's not come up with some kind of... This is not...
I just did that off the top of my head as well.
I've got to think really quickly for this one. I got one. Hang on. Let me just write this down. That's very clever. Hey, iPhone 5 spokesman, man.
Oh.
Stop saying there's never been anything like this before. There has. The iPhone 4. You know what that was like. You know, that was like every other iPhone as well, wasn't it? You can't just stick a stereo in a tractor and say it's not like any other tractor. It still ploughs the main three fields, doesn't it, while leaving the fourth field fallow for a season. Well, you there, you work out what short root vegetables might be best for next year's crops. I can't be the only one thinking this. How do you like them apples, Apple?
Oh.
Thank you.
We are
XFM. Anthony Joshua is still here, Olympic gold medal winning boxer. Top man, and this is the great thing. You've got your medal with you.
I've got it with me.
You've got it with you. Yes. He brought the medal out. We weren't expecting the medal. Matt and Dave rushed to it like tiny children. Like tiny children. And then had their photo taken with Anthony in the middle. Anthony, as I've referenced, very tall, broad-shouldered man. And it's like he's got these two little sprites next to him. Two little boxing fan
Mike
sprites.
Tyson and Cole for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Can I've purposely not touched the medal. Yeah, because I want to touch it on air. Here we go. Oh, that is... This is nice, isn't it?
It's weighty, isn't
it? It's nicely weighted. That's what I would say if I was an antiques roadshow or something. No, it was great. What a brilliant thing to have. I'm going to give it back to you.
Thanks.
Because I am light-fingered. what a great thing just to have as well for future generations of Joshua's.
It won't go away.
It's not going anywhere.
It's staying.
And what's the plan now? I mean, are you going to go pro?
That's the big question. That's the big question.
That's why I asked it.
At the minute, I'm an amateur, focusing on improving and getting back in the gym next week. And things are going to happen where there's world championships and I'm still going to represent my country. And in history, as we said, it's like everyone wins a gold or silver or bronze and they just think, that's it, let's turn professional. But I'm going to try and do something a bit different.
Bit different.
Yeah, I want to make
start
my
a garden centre.
Exactly.
Exactly. I mean, that would make it, people would talk of it for years.
No one's expecting that.
It's like, what Anthony Joshua did next, started a small garden centre. No one's expecting it, Anthony. This is the kind of thing, if you want to make history, don't go the traditional route. Don't go the traditional route. Make a name for yourself. And this afternoon, obviously the parade is going on, is what we were talking about. Yeah. You're going to be waving for up to sort of 3 hours, I think.
Well, this morning I woke up an hour early. I've been practicing.
Your wave?
Doing some shoulder weights.
can you give us your wave now? The wave that we'll enjoy? It's quite ladylike, isn't it? I wasn't expecting that kind of wave.
I didn't give a wave.
Anthony, it's been a pleasure having you, and congratulations. Thank you for everything you have done for this country. Best of luck with the garden centre. We are XFM. Dave Masterman.
Hi.
What a night you had last night.
Yes.
Huh?
Saw my hero again.
Absolutely.
Noel Gallagher playing the Roundhouse for iTunes Festival.
I've seen him a lot this year.
Yeah.
Stone Roses, Noel Gallagher is pretty much all you've seen.
It's all I've done, yeah.
I've said it before to you, but if ever, and I hope this never happens, but if ever your life flashes before your eyes, this will be a minute-long Noel Gallagher gig. Do you know what I mean? Like, have you ever gone through all your thousands of photos on, like, iPhoto or something, and you scan from, like, the very beginning down, you just hit the scroll button, and it's just, every now and again, it just stops on a random photo. And I imagine that must be what your life flashing before you looks like. But with you, it will just be, like, a copy of Smash Hits, or whatever the kids are reading these days. But you met him last night, did you? Did you get to meet him?
Yeah, we interviewed him last night.
Yeah.
For XFM, so I met him again.
Met him again, so it's the third time, right? So the first time you met him... You didn't know what to say. You panicked.
The first time I met him, I said thank you.
Yeah, you just said thank you.
So which like, then Matt's like, taken...
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the music.
Thank you for the music. Matt's taken Gallagher. Great pleasure in kind of embellishing, saying I said thank you for the music.
Well, the second one I absolutely witnessed there and then, which was I said bye to Noel, we said bye to each other. He turns around, you've got your hand out, you extended your hand, you've gone for it, a bold and confident move.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to get this handshake back. No, rebuffed. He just kept on turning and walked away, leaving you looking like a bit of a dimple.
Wally, yeah.
A ninny hammer. Mm. So last night, it was all about last night.
I thought it was all down to last night.
Ooh.
Because I'm sat there during a lot of these interviews with you, Danny.
Yes.
He often looks at me when he's answering some of your brilliant, brilliant questions.
Thank you. Yeah, he sort of, he plays to the crowd, doesn't he?
He does. And I'm thinking, you know, two times now, sure, they've not gone great. But the third time, there's got to be just a glint of familiarity in his eyes. Even if it's just a, oh, hi there, mate.
Yeah.
Something that shows that he knows who I am.
This is exciting.
I'm not after a name.
No.
I don't want him to go, all right, Dave, nice to meet you. Let's go for a drink. I don't need that.
Hello just some again. Human record.
Thanks. Hi, Noel, Dave. Nice to meet you. You're all
right. Right. So, just to recap, you went up. Someone said, you met him at Camden Dingwalls, and he said what?
Did we?
Oh, Dave.
It's a fail, isn't it?
It's a fail, isn't it? Matt, how can Dave be more memorable to Noel?
I don't know. I don't think it's just it's not the time.
Why are you so forgettable to the Mancunian legend? What is it about you? Maybe he fears you.
It was just a blank. So sorry. It was just a blank look in his eye. Yeah, no, I'm all right.
You all right?
This was the one I thought.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I thought this was the one because you know we met a few times.
Maybe it's because you use phrases like the one. Do you know what I mean?
But there was nothing. There was nothing there. You know, his manager even tried to remind him that knew who I was, and there was nothing.
I don't know what to tell you. I just don't think you're destined. Well, I was going to say to be friends, but I don't think you're destined to even be recognised or even given any form of basic human kindness by Noel Gallagher. He's lovely to me. He said he'd seen me do some stuff on telly. He even talked about me on tour once.
Yeah,
you know that?
I saw that.
Yeah, you were there, weren't you, for that?
Yeah. There's nothing.
Oh, Dave. We are. Let's get angry and let's get nerdy. Well, plenty of things. Instantly just came in. The screen filled up with them, didn't it? For example, look, keyboard. I am in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So why do you sometimes randomly default to United States keyboard systems and swap my at and my speech mark symbols around? I want an at, not a speech mark. Quite right. Quite right. You tell them like it is.
Kelly Wilson is laying into annoying spreadsheet senders. If you must put everything into an overcomplicated spreadsheet, make sure you sort out the print settings.
Yeah, print settings.
I don't end up with a pages of nonsense.
Yes.
Thank you.
And she's going to go to print settings, isn't she? And then scroll down to printer options, probably.
Yeah.
Then, like, general. It's like, for goodness sakes, just sort it out, spreadsheet sender. Matt, any others?
Yes. Why am I angry and nerdy today? I'll tell you, Danny. A certain radio DJ that insists on calling me a she,
this
despite
girl.
Knowing I'm clearly a gent.
Girl. Not this girl.
Ooh, it makes me shake my fist in rage.
Very sort of ladylike.
Sammy.
Ladylike.
From Oakland's Village. Morning, Sammy.
Morning, Sammy. hey, O2 Connection Manager. When I tick the Remember This Setting button on your helpful pop-up menu, why do I have to repeat this task every single flipping day? Are you programmed to have the memory of plasticine? Are you? Are you, O2 Connection Manager? Well, stop it.
Why, oh, why do people use photos of themselves that they have taken at arm's length as their Twitter profile nick? I don't want to see a photo you've taken at arm's length or reflected in a mirror that shows nostril hair. Grr.
Oof, very angry at the end. Fuller's Tony says, hey, autocorrect. Yeah, right. Ha 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 ha. It was funny the first time you corrected my name to Tiny. But now it's just irritating. And he signs that from Fuller's Tiny. Nice. Couple of finish there, mate.
Yeah, Jack in Barking asks, why do people who insist on only eating free-range chickens not pursue these beliefs into other farmyard animals, only eating bacon from happy pigs, one that after a day out go wee all the way home and died not in an abattoir but in a huffing and puffing related incident?
Yes, exactly.
That's all I've got.
A whole bunch have just come in. Gareth in Gravesend. Listen, PC, stop asking me if I want to restart you now or later so you can run pointless updates. I won't even notice. How about never? How'd you like that? He says. Michael in Ryslip. I'm annoyed by the Pirates of the Caribbean game app. Oh, join the club, Michael. Even though I've changed iPhone recently, it's saved my progress on the game centre. Yes, everything's fine so far. But when I need to use my email address to transfer my gaming ID, it totally refuses to connect to the server completely, meaning I've lost months of hard gaming and hours of my precious time. Curse you, says Michael. Man, countryside, dog walkers, printers, text scams, it's all happening. You are angry, you are nerdy. We hope we've let you get that off your chest.
We are XFM.
Confirm with some Mark, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Hello, Mark. I like the way you sort of said that. I imagine you're on a big leather chair with maybe a brandy. Just the way you said, yes, I'm here. Just welcoming me into your home.
Well, yeah, welcoming in my home, but I'm not in a leather chair.
Okay.
Make sandwiches.
You're making sandwiches?
Wow. Yeah.
What's the filling you've gone for this morning?
Corned beef, yellow pepper, baby spinach leaf.
Oh, very nice. Whoa. Cool. All right, Mark. Well, we're sorry to interrupt your sandwich filling moment.
Sorry, I can do it one-handed.
Whoa. So you're still going to do it. All right, fair enough. So are you ready for quiz face, Mark?
Yes.
Well, you should know the rules by now, so let's get quizzical.
Quiz face.
So, Mark, just before we start, I'd like to ask you to choose a number between one and a number of your own choice. Don't tell me the number you're going up to, only tell me the number you are choosing.
Okay. Number two.
Two you've gone for. Two. Keeping it low, keeping it real. So that's two, Matt. You've made a note of that, two?
Mm-hmm.
Then, Matt, hand me envelope two.
There you go.
Well, it's date, mate.
Date, mate.
So, Mark, it's September 12th. We are 255 days into the year. Just 110 days to go until the year we're 255 days into is over. Let's add those two amounts together, first of all. 255 plus 110.
365.
365, yes. Strange, isn't it? There are 365 days in the year, of course. Coincidence? I don't think so. Sometimes, Mark, it's impossible to explain the inexplicable, though sometimes the inexplicable can be explicit. So, let's explic it. As you know, 365 is made up of three distinct numbers, Mark. Let's crunch some. 3 plus 6 plus 5 equals what, Mark?
14.
14.
14.
14, yes. There are 14 days in the fortnight, Mark. Let's double that to a month, please, computer.
Month doubler.
Matt, crunch the numbers, please.
Okay, hang on. Come 14 on. Times 2.
Yeah, 14 times 2. Come on.
This is broken, right?
Come on.
Let me work it on paper.
It's 28. 28.
28.
Well, how many months in a year, Mark? Well, 12 last time I looked. So let's times 28 by 12. Mark, you have 2 seconds. 28 times 12.
Don't know.
Well.
2 seconds to do it.
It's 336. It's 336, my friend.
336.
So, 336. Where have I heard that number before? You're probably thinking. Well, remember, I just said it a second ago. But also, there are 336 seconds in an hour.
Pow!
With loads of seconds left over. The plot thickens, Mark. Now, let's just take a second. Okay, let's crack on. 336, let's take the number you chose. Remind me of the number that you chose.
Number two.
Two. So let's therefore swap the last two numbers of 336 around. Matt?
I'm going to call it.
You're going to call IT, yeah? It's 363. So let's add the two you chose, caller. What do you get, Matt? 363 plus 2. It's 365. It's 365.
365. Now that's what I call digit wizardry.
So finally, we're up to 365, of course. Take 110 from 365, and you get 255. And what is the 255th day of the year, caller?
It's today.
It is, it is today! Man, I'm like Darren Brown. The way we swapped those two numbers around and it all ended up with 365, all that, though, is completely irrelevant at this point, Mark. Because the question is, can you complete the well-known phrase, we are...
XFM.
He's done it! Oh! Mark, talk me through your feelings, the way I manipulated numbers there. And you chose two as a free choice, and it all ended up with 365. How do you feel?
Oh, yeah, wait, look, the computer's back on.
Okay.
The 255th day of the year is September 13th, Danny.
I'm going to hurt you with pain. We are XFM.
We are
XFM.
Let me put you in the no-biz. That's right. Been through the papers. I've got your showbiz. Distilled into the important nuggets. None of the fluff. Just the facts.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, George Clooney split up with a wrestler.
Oh.
Yeah. He was with a wrestler.
I didn't know he was with a wrestler.
He was with a wrestler.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But you're a bit late now because He split up with the...
Pinch me.
I won't. Split up with the wrestler.
Oh. Do we know the wrestler's name?
Stacey.
Aye.
Stacey the wrestler. Jessica Simpson dressed her baby in a bikini and people got angry.
Quite right.
Rufflecopter.
This, not so much a show... I suppose it's a showbiz... it's an update, really, on an old story. The remains of King Richard III have been found in a car park.
Oh, yeah.
That's, just to update you. If you're wondering.
Shut up.
You're
That's
wondering.
Good water cooler chat. Right?
Yeah. If you're wondering what happened to that story. Yeah. It's been quiet. His star has faded, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So that, you know, now he's back in the headlines at last.
Yeah, he's not in the gossip columns so much anymore, is he?
And he's not, is he? Talking of which, Sandra Parsons, in her Mail column, thinks Andrew Marr is sad and silly. Denise Van Outen shouldn't be on Strictly Come Dancing. And Peaches Geldof is a nit. So if you want a...
Gazooks!
If you want a real feel-good, uplifting read, that's the Mail for you. Edwina Curry! I can't be bothered with that. Nancy Dell'Olio was a guest speaker at a comprehensive school. She talked about comas. Jeremy Kyle's dad was the Queen Mother's accountant. Cheryl Cole says certain people should be very scared of her upcoming autobiography.
WTF.
It's the readers, isn't it? The readers, the publishers, people in charge of marketing. Blake Lively wants 30 children. Kelsey Grammer abstained for 10 years. And I might as well. Edwina Curry.
Edwina Curry.
Can't wait for this one now.
Edwina Curry and Ben Shepherd are going on tour together.
Whoa.
To encourage young people to make pies.
What?
And finally,
what is this? Wait, no, wait, come on.
It's based on their names, I think.
More.
She's a curry, he's a shepherd's pie. So they're teaming up.
Oh, like Beef and Lammy did, advertising different types of meat.
Exactly, sir.
Let me write this down.
But these aren't exactly really specific types of meat, are they? I think, you know, like curry, you know, vegetable curry.
Yeah.
Shepherd's pie tends to be, that's lamb, isn't it? Because shepherd is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so they're teaming up. And they're going on tour. And finally, David Attenborough used to use a chameleon as a car alarm.
We are XFM.
Let's get the good news in the studio. Let's see what's making Matt Dyson happy.
This is potentially very exciting. Good news, guys. Ted from Mumford & Sons has agreed to play at my wedding.
Oh.
Yeah. Straight up.
Yeah.
The world-conquering double bass player said he would do this a couple of years ago at a gig they played for XFM at Hoxton Bar and Kitchen.
You're calling that favour in,
We were having a few drinks, just jokingly discussing it, and he said, yeah, he'd do it. Well, now, 2 years on, our web supremo, Martin, has confronted him on the issue.
Good.
Jason says May the 4th next year.
May the 4th.
London. Can you do it?
Sure, that's fine. I'll be there.
Great. I'll love it.
Yeah.
I'll get involved.
You can come.
Awesome. Whereabouts in West London is he?
He lives sort of Chiswick.
Nah, Norway.
No, it's not too doing far. It. Too far. No, Shepherd's Bush. It's about Shepherd's as far Bush, as we go. Yeah.
So you're gonna relocate it to Shepherd's Bush?
I think I might do. Yeah. I might actually have it in Hammersmith. So I think they should be all right with that.
Yeah, it's gonna be fine. Yeah. Well, Mumford & Sons playing at Dyson's wedding. Hey, good news, guys. There's a squirrel who keeps moving an apple around on my fence. And sometimes it's near the tree. Sometimes it's near the flowers. Back and forth the apple goes. Where will it be tomorrow? All of this lends my mornings a game show feel as I make little bets with myself as to where it could be next. Now, this is technically as complicated as Deal or No Deal, and every bit as exciting. So soon, the squirrel and I will be wearing top hats and sipping champagne from crystal flutes as we sell the rights to the format right across the globe. All I really need is a catchy title. That's where you come in, Dave. You're great with titles.
Oh, okay.
There's a squirrel, there's an apple that moves along the fence. It moves from left to right. It's not a nut, it's an apple. Got anything?
Don't dapple with the apple.
Don't dapple with the apple?
Yeah.
No. What else you got?
Not really much rhymes with squirrel, does it? It's a tricky one. Squirrel. Play with the squirrel on the Wirral.
No,
it's got to be based in
no. Next one. quickly.
Have a hoot. Play with. have a hoot. Play with some fruit.
Brilliant. Oh, that's absolutely perfect because apples not as popular in some countries as in others.
Yeah.
So they can bring their own fruit to the thing. They just need the squirrel.
We are XFM.
Dave is just holding himself and just rocking back and forth in the corner. Lots of people coming up with ideas for how you can be a little bit more memorable to Noel Gallagher.
Oh, yeah.
Someone says, ditch the dream, Dave. It's obviously too rude for you. Stick up for yourself in future, then he'll remember you. That's from Wenner. Someone says, I've got an idea. Why doesn't Dave wear a memorable hat? It's a lovely idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
What kind of hat could you wear? Sombrero's too obvious. He'd find that too showy, wouldn't he?
There's that hat these days, those woolly hats that have, like, five big fingers on the top that go down the middle.
Yeah, you mustn't ever wear that. And that's just a rule for life.
Okay.
Even at a festival, you think it's fun. No, it's not fun. Okay. Little Trilby, I'll tell you what. What about a tiny hat?
Mm.
Almost like a tiny little brooch that you could just thread into your hair. Just a tiny one. Like an Action Man-sized hat.
Like the hat from Monopoly?
No, that's too small.
Oh.
Yeah, you're being a foolish there. No, like an Action Man-sized hat, just off to one side.
Okay.
Little beret. No? All right.
No.
Yorkshire Grey says, introduce yourself as the Masterman. No one will forget that. That's a godsend surname. Use it better, Dave. What's wrong with you?
Mm.
And someone else, just all in block capitals, just says, put the heat on him, then he won't forget you next time. Which I think is implying you should headbutt Noel Gallagher.
Really? Yeah. Not doing that.
Put the heat on him.
My little hat might fall off.
XFM. We are XFM.
There's only really one thing I want to talk about this morning, though. Which involves, what was it again? Name Tom Jones's biggest hit.
What's New Pussycat?
Well, this is about the...
Delilah.
This is about the What's New Pussycat hitmaker.
Oh, nice.
Tom Jones, to give him his own sort of tabloid-style name. And you'll remember last time I mentioned Tom Jones, Sir Tom Jones, on the important broadcast, it was when he... he escaped the attentions of a Randy orangutan.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Didn't you do an impression of him?
I did on the day, yeah. I did a hint of a rumour of an impression.
Yeah, yeah.
Of Tom Jones.
That was your first impression, wasn't it?
It was I made a good first impression, yeah. Didn't I? And then I followed that with Wogan.
Wogan, yeah.
It's pretty much the same impression. but it's okay. So Sir Tom Jones, former guitarist, has given a chicken to a club. 49 years after Tom Jones nicked one during a gig there. Now, the singer snatched the raffle prize as a mass punch-up flared in the audience in 1963. So he's doing a gig. There's a huge punch-up. Tom Jones. Oh, I'm having that. Wow. Yeah? Do you like this? Oh, yeah. There's an impression back.
Oh, yeah.
So Tom and his band, the Senators, were then banned by the club in this small pit village near Caerphilly. And the bird was... they didn't know where this chicken had gone.
Mm.
Yeah, so it wasn't a live chicken. It was a cooked chicken, just sitting there in the middle of a dance floor, it seems. But the bass guitarist, Vernon Hopkins, returned to make amends. And Vernon, who's now 70, said, it was bedlam in the club and we were lucky to get out in one piece. Tom was lying in the back of the van and this gruff voice said, guess who's having chicken tomorrow? So it was great to go back and give them a chicken, he says. And it was good of them to forgive us. And the club people say, it's just good to have it back finally. They've been waiting since 1963 going, where is this bird? Almost like Lassie or something.
Yeah.
You know, they assume this bird has just wandered out and will one day return, possibly after having helped maybe like a series of people along the way, a series of strangers. No, Tom Jones ate it the next day. But isn't that nice to make amends?
That was nice.
And then I was listening to the Noel Gallagher interview that went out on XFM, and he was talking about how the Maccabees had made amends with him.
Nice lads. They sent me a very nice email.
Oh, yeah? What about?
It was funny, because they'd inadvertently slagged me off in the Daily Star. And they sent me an email apologising that it came out wrong. But in their own heads, they were thinking, well, it's in the Daily Star, so he must read it. So when I met them, they were like, look, sorry about that. And I was like, nobody reads the f***ing Daily Star.
So making amends, although he will now have to issue an apology to the Daily Star. But making amends, it seems like it's happening more and more. Just it's in the air at the moment. The Maccabees with Noel... You got Tom Jones returning chickens left, right and centre.
Mm.
What do you want to make amends for today, Matt?
I suppose this has been in my mind for the past half hour since I had a go at that guy from Sky Sports News, the person that's been writing the sports scripts this morning.
Mm.
I sort of blamed him for a slip-up earlier, talking about Jermaine Defoe not playing for his club side.
That's right, yeah.
When he'd written club side.
Yeah.
And I'm the one that sounded bad on air.
You called him out.
And I sort of took it out on him, really.
You did.
And it wasn't that bad an error in his script. And I apologise from the bottom of my heart.
That must have been very hard for you.
Yeah.
It must have been very hard for you. Yeah. Sorry, it's the hardest word to say, isn't it?
It is.
Dave, what do you want to make amends for this morning?
Well, I'd like to make amends to the stranger sat opposite me on the tube yesterday. Oh. It was me who sprayed you with my well-known energy drink as I opened the can.
Oh.
I should have owned up at the time. She didn't hear it because she had her headphones on, so she didn't know where the sprays had come from.
No.
I didn't own up.
Probably thought you sneezed from your midriff.
Well, I just carried on looking straight forward, so I should have apologised there and then.
Well, sir, you're the bigger man. You are the bigger man. That must have been hard. Mm. I'd like to say sorry to GMTV's Richard Arnold.
About time.
For telling the story about how I found him eating chips and sipping champagne in a corner with a companion after inadvertently gate-crashing a party I threw for my pals. It was wrong of me to dwell on this. It was wrong of me to tell it on air. You didn't know. You were just caught in the orbit of the glamour of eating chips in a Soho basement.
Yeah.
And who can blame you?
We've all done that.
Also, sorry to Sue Pollard for telling that story I told this morning about the penny.
That's good of you, Dan.
That was difficult.
I think it helped Richard Arnold's career, though. He's on Strictly now, isn't he?
Yeah. It's like the next day it was announced. Yeah, so, I mean, can't take all the credit. It's karma, though, isn't it? It's karma. XFM. This morning we've discovered, Dave Masterman's big money-making scheme.
That's right.
So he went to San Francisco. He's calling it San Fran. He called it San Fran.
Everyone calls it San Fran.
Well, people who want you to know they've been to San Francisco say San Fran. That's the thing. It wouldn't take any much longer to say. Wouldn't take any much longer to say San Francisco, I think.
You're threatened, aren't you?
I'm feeling threatened. Yeah, I don't like how this is going, but the listeners are as well. You know, been a big reaction to this.
Yeah.
The idea that so run us through it again if anyone's just tuned in. Your idea is.
I think what London needs is soup in an edible bread bowl.
In an edible bread bowl.
Yeah.
Someone's saying, would the spoons be edible as well?
Well, this is what I'm hoping to achieve, but I don't know how you make the spoons edible without them kind of dissolving and going soft within the bread, within the soup.
You need to think this through. An edible spoon is a terrible idea. Because when do you stop eating?
Yeah. When it's just
how do you know when
soup,
to stop? How do you know? But your mouth is there. Your mouth doesn't know it's a spoon. Your brain knows it's a spoon. You've got to feel your way around. You're maybe biting into some bread that you've put in there. I'll just stop my bite just shortly before the edible spoon.
No, because you're not going to put the bread on the spoon.
You have to slide the food off. You have to use that as
it's
a scraping tool.
It's soup. It's basically
to scrape
a drink.
The food into your mouth before you eat the spoon.
Well, let's forego the spoon idea for now.
All right, the spoon's gone. Soup bowls are big in the 70s, says Kelly and Dulwich.
Yeah.
Drew goes further. I'm pretty sure this idea predates Christianity. Someone else just saying, well, look, this has already been done. It's on sale in Tesco.
No.
Mainly remaindered stock. Hasn't really taken off so far in Britain. People putting it down to South Africans, people putting it down to the Germans, people putting it down to the Americans. It's all over the place, my friend. And yet, for some reason, it hasn't taken off.
People have tried it. They've tried it.
Tried their really hardest.
Worked. Even in the UK in 2008.
Yeah. This is all off the top of his head.
In Birmingham, a curry restaurant, an Indian restaurant, made one using naan bread.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So even that's been tried.
They've even tried it with curry, Dave. And yet you're still going to plug away with, you get a roll with it. No, you eat a roll with it. No. What's it
you
called?
You eat the bowl with it.
You eat the bowl with it. You could use rolls as well in there.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts now that we've analysed this idea?
Listen, it was all the rage in San Fran. And all I'm saying
just
is naan
bread.
Just
take the extra half a second to say Cisco.
Cisco. Naan bread is different. That'll just soak through. That's ridiculous. It's going to be different than Tesco because I'm going to be cooking it myself. It's going to be freshly baked bread.
Oh, no.
There's going to be a range of soup on offer, not just clam chowder. And when someone sees someone else at Broadway Market walking around with an edible bowl with soup in, they're going to go, where the flipping heck has he got that from?
Yeah, and
then
and why? And why, mainly?
Why?
And what happens when this piping hot liquid finally eats through the bowl, scalding the shoes of...
Dribbling out
with this edible spoon. What happens then?
It doesn't. It's a very neat meal.
It's a very great idea, Dave, and I urge you to invest heavily. We are on the verge, on the precipice of getting your good news. And here it comes. Straight into your ears. Matt Dyson, what's the good news?
Good news, guys. Yes. Thanks to my wife's love of the literature of E.L. James, I am now eating a lot more yoghurt than I used to.
So a little joke there, for the mums. What else is going on? We'll move along quickly.
Despite feeling bilious on my way into work due to what can only be described as enforced fun, I am looking forward to Thursday morning when I get to lie in as it's my birthday and I have a day off work.
Oh, good news.
Good news from Andy in Hobbiston.
Andrea says, good news, guys. Just one more day at work before I go on maternity leave. For a whole year. That's going to be good. What an exciting year you're going to have, Andrea. Get some sleep now. Matt.
Ben on the M2. Good news, guys. I didn't get the audition for the guitar stroke singer in the band that I went for last week. The good news, though, I've saved everyone from the horrible pain of me regurgitating and murdering their favourite songs.
Sammy in Oatlands Village, she's got good news. Lindy's got good news as well. Here's Lindy's.
Good news, guys. Yesterday, I visited my allotment to find a cracking crop of sweet corn. Some had been nibbled by mice, but even that was not enough to dampen my mood. And more to the point, they were delicious. Oh.
Sweet corn news happening here. Whatever happened to confirmed listener Lee, the pepper papa? Just in a greenhouse surrounded by millions of peppers. Yeah. We're going to get that guy back. What else, Matt?
Do you want to talk about Sammy in Oakland? I mean, this, the confirmed listener we thought was a woman.
Yeah, that's why I said, I just thought, that's why I just went, Sammy in Oakland's village, she's got good news.
Yeah, right.
It was to mock Sammy, who's very angry about that.
Angry about a five-minute listener.
It was basically a joke that was only for Sammy in Oakland's village, that.
Good, okay.
And not even the people in the studio understood the joke. Matt, go on then, read out her email.
Well, she says, he or she, we're not really sure. On the 8th of September, there was to be an off-air meeting regarding my outrageous five-minute listener ban.
She was banned, basically.
I sincerely hope Danny has listened to my case, but realised his ill and rash error via my appeal. So we do have good news. Has it been revoked? Have you rescinded the five-minute ban?
I just think that she's been going on about this for so long, and now she's interrupted the flow entirely of this feature, I'm afraid.
Five-minute listener ban.
It's not my fault. It's not my fault. She's getting all up in my face.
She's the Joey Barton of the confirmed listener brigade.
She absolutely is. Hey, here's good news from Ben in Bracknell. My friends reckoned I couldn't learn the Tuvalu national anthem off my heart in less than a day. Boy, were those clowns wrong. All I have to do now is sing it to them. Stay tuned, he says, as if he's got his own radio station that we are listening to. I think you fundamentally misunderstood the relationship we have here, Ben, and the roles that we all employ. So, Ben, live on the air, are you there?
I'm here.
Hello, Ben. So you spent a day learning the Tuvalu National Anthem?
Yes, I did.
How did you get along?
I got along pretty good, thank you. I downloaded the song from iTunes and, well, I just learnt the words from Wikipedia.
Well, good. You read along on Wikipedia while listening to the downloaded Tuvalu National Anthem. Let's drop the music, Ben, please sing.
Yes. Tuvalu, for your mighty, are the words we hold most dear. For as people or as leaders of Tuvalu, we all share.
That'll do. Tuvalu, everybody! Ben from Bracknell, excellent work.
XFM.
I hope you had a good weekend. I don't know what you did. Whatever it was you did was great. The great weather we had. Amazing weather. It's kind of weather I pay my taxes for.
Yeah.
At last.
Mm. It's about time, isn't it?
Cameron and his cronies.
Yeah.
Finally sorting out the weather. That was great. Did you enjoy yourself? What did you do?
It was lovely, wasn't it? Yeah, it was very nice. Well, I was out in park. So yesterday I went to the Thames Festival.
Oh.
The Mayor's Festival. There was a big parade.
How did you get an invite to the Mayor's Festival?
The Victoria Embankment, big parade. It was very nice.
Come on in the world.
No, anyone can go.
No. And what had Boris laid on?
He'd laid on lots of things. There was lots of, like, it was like a street carnival that happened. And there was fireworks, although they were too late for me. We had to go home.
So that was it, just Boris. It's all Boris sorted out.
Well, he's sorted out, you know, there's lots of things happening on the South Bank, and then...
Has he got time to sort out
a festival? I don't know, he does it all, you know.
I'd be panicking, you know, it's like when you're sorting out a birthday party or something like that. I mean, Boris has got a whole festival.
Yeah, there wasn't much Boris-themed stuff going on. I would have liked to have seen, like, more things to do with him.
A giant Boris.
Yeah.
A giant inflatable Boris.
Yeah, a zip wire where you can all get stuck in the middle, you know. A
celebration of Boris.
In many ways, it's been his year.
Yeah, it has. I suppose so. When people look back at London 2012, the first thing they'll think of is Boris.
Yes, yeah.
Dave, what did you get up to? You were going to go frisbeeing, weren't you?
Yeah, well, that was the plan, wasn't it? I think we chatted about this Thursday.
Did it go awry?
Plans were already in place.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I followed through with that plan, yeah, with that promise.
You went frisbeeing?
Yeah, I went frisbeeing on Saturday, although we had lost the original frisbee, so we had to go and buy another frisbee.
Gosh, the frisbee.
And that takes a lot of work, you know. You've really got to shop around for a decent frisbee these days.
Talk me through the ideal frisbee.
Well, you've got the dilemma first off. Do you want to go for just the black plastic disc, or do you want to go for the aerobic?
Stop talking me through the ideal frisbee.
Daniel?
Well, I went out on that.
You've had a haircut, I see.
You've had a haircut.
I did have a haircut, yeah, I did.
Very nice.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I went out on that. You're supposed to say things like, aren't you supposed to say things like, haircut?
Oh,
did you have a fight with a lawnmower?
You had your ears lowered.
All classics. I went out for a couple of drinks on Friday night, and then and Saturday, basically, just we got the paddling pool out.
Oh, nice.
And we just paddled away. Just paddled. The potty training went a little bit awry. Oh, man. Oh, I don't know how I can... I don't know how I can tell you this, but I...
Oh, no.
Not
in the paddling pool.
In the bath. In the bath. And it wasn't... let me put this as polite as I can. It wasn't something that would just blend in.
Right, okay.
It was very much the other kind of deposits.
No one wants this.
No one wants this. So I had to come up with some kind of system for...
to get it out, right.
Yeah, exactly. I love that we can't even... You even were too delicate of stomach to use the word scoop there.
Yeah.
You were about to use the word scoop and you went, I can't commit to scoop.
I thought it was not on, yeah.
Oh, man.
What was the system?
It's like, well, it involved various layers of plastic bagging, creating rudimentary gloves. But they're very thin plastic bags, aren't they? So it's kind of, you feel everything.
Yeah.
And you're not sure what you're about to feel, but when you do, you really wish you weren't.
XFM. We are XFM.
So, 4 hours of very important broadcasting indeed, and what have we learned today, Matt Dyson?
Well, a record two listener bans were dished out in the space of 10 minutes this morning.
Rightfully.
By our power-crazy leader, Daniel the Despot Wallace.
Yeah.
One for Sophie for questioning Danny's knowledge of gluten-free foods.
Yeah.
Another for Lee for daring to query his suggestion that you could inadvertently steal something. I think he may be drunk on power.
These guys, they're their own worst enemies, aren't they? Huh? He's coming out with this madness.
They've got to learn.
We went Dave crazy on today's show. He sang with a postman last night. After posty peer pressure in the post office put him in a proper pickle. He said hello to Noel Gallagher, who did not recognise him or care, despite one meeting every 2 months. And he is currently seeking investment for You Eat the Bowl With It, a market-based two-bowl soup system with an edible spoon. Amazingly, he refers to the edible spoon as, quote, a pipe dream, which suggests he sees the rest of it as stark reality.
We are XFM.
So that was podcast number 60 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Matt's still struggling somewhat to come up with some kind of rhyme. I mean, we've just sat here and listened to the whole thing, haven't we? What are your initial thoughts?
We had Carl, Fall, but no talk at all.
Yeah.
Sadly, for all.
It was very banal. We're XFM. We'll see you next week.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.